Well, it's great to hear Simon talk like that, and everything he said is right and true. Like Simon, I came to McNeice kind of by chance, I suppose. I had grew up in Cookstown, and we'd been given Death of a Naturalist to study for GCSE. And I knew then that poetry was something that I was interested in. But there were no bookshops in Cookstown at all, and the library didn't have a poetry section. So my mum and sister would go to Belfast once or twice a month to go shopping, and I would get dropped off at the Waterstones by Castlecourt in the morning and picked up again in the afternoon, and I'd sit in the poetry section and work my way through the books. And I came across Ormsby's poets from the north of Ireland, and Jerry Dawes, and younger Irish poets, and Muldoon's favourite book of Irish poetry, and you know, bought some of them, and bought Michael Longley's Selected, McNeice, and you know, you start to fill in the gaps. And at that point, there was no question of McNeice not being Northern Irish, at least to me. I mean, he was evidently incorporated into the Northern Irish canon, and I mean, hugely important to me. I just, like Simon said, the first lines, the excitement of the whole thing, the conversational tone, I couldn't get over it. I mean, I think the first poem that really did it was one I read last night, Wolves. Just with that immediate first line, I do not wish to be reflective anymore, envying and despising unreflective things. And then when I got to Cambridge, I just got my collected poems here, and I've written the day I bought it, on it in 1993 October when I arrived. And you know, enormously important to me, whenever I got a chance to write on what I wanted at the end of my first year, I chose to do a dissertation on McNeice. But of course Cambridge couldn't find me a supervisor, because he wasn't, I think he was an Oxford man, that's probably the, reason. But eventually they found a graduate student from Cork, so we kind of worked into them together. But as Simon mentioned, this engagement with the wider world, with Spain and America and politics and war, you know, very exciting to think that poetry could do all these things and be a sort of living, vital commentary. And for me also, you know, different to Simon, the complex relationship with Ireland that McNeice had, very important to me. I mean, it certainly didn't mirror my own relationship, but it kind of allowed the varieties of Irishness beyond, you know, W.F. Marshall or Patrick Feick or Yeats. And McNeice's frustration with Ireland, I mean, growing up in Mid Ulster, you know, you had received narratives of a kind, and McNeice challenged those, and I sort of identified with his disenfranchisement. Is that right? Is that a word? Disenfranchisement. But lines like, you know, Dublin, this was never my town. McNeice made it okay to be yourself and okay to be, you know, immensely pissed off. And all the Udi Atke Amo, I hate and I love, and yeah, we love her forever and hate our neighbour. So the Irish poems of McNeice for me sort of both expanded and undercut the received narratives, and you know, I think I read them as contemporary commentary really, rather than stuff that had been written 50 years before. Other things about him, I suppose, I was just trying to make out a list this morning, and the list is endless really, but as a love poet, I mean, he's just fabulous. I just, there's lines, the Mayfly, I remember reading Mayfly, and the line when he gets, "I want always to be near your breasts," you know, both shocked and delighted by that line. It's surreal. It's a real killer, and he has the kind of conversational stuff. The other one that I always remember is, "Were it not that scratching your elbow, you are too lovely by half." You know, he's a seductive voice. He's very good. He's also funny. You know, like in the poem last night, "Envying, despising unreflective things, finding pathos in dogs and undeveloped handwriting." You know, that's funny, and suddenly, you know, poetry is allowed to be funny as well. It doesn't have to be a serious thing. And so his sort of flexibility and his adaptability, and part of that for me was this kind of refusal to be taken in by prescriptive or big ideas. You know, his resistance to things like communism, say, and nationalism, say, and his also, you know, his tone, his intolerance to intolerance, I liked a lot. And I like that, you know, anger at sloganeering, at what's the line there? Mass production of neat thoughts. So this rational voice, you know, it really came to me and was incredibly important. And what else? His aloneness, you know, the solitary travel stuff, the idea of being a person who goes out into the world and sees things and responds to them, you know, is exciting, I think. And I was looking through the collected there when I was coming over here, and you know, I've written, as I always do in books I love, terrible little pseudo-pastiche poems at the end when I was 18. And the one I had found, I mean, I'm not going to read it out because it's just shameful, but it's about windows and trains. And
it is really terrible.
So it reminded me of you as well. But so there's like still things, you know, there's a poem in my first book about, you know, looking through a window and the reflection and stuff, which is obviously just stolen from McNeice, and there's stuff in the second book about trains and all the rest. And the other thing is, with McNeice, there's a kind of surrealness or a weirdness about it, which I love, like certain poems like Flight of the Heart or Troll's Courtship, where it was okay to say things for the sake of it, for the sound of it, all those wonderful chancy internal half rhymes and rhymes, just a sheer delight in language, which was obviously we've talked about. But whenever he says, I'm a lonely troll in my gala night, you know, brilliant, and nothing in the end comes right. But so what are these things are up to for a young person who is interested in poetry? You know, they enable you, and they provoke you, and they provide touchstones of language. I mean, there's so many lines of McNeice's that I just love, even from, you know, some poems that are maybe failures, like Autumn Sequel, lines like, home is a prime number, which I just can't get past at all. So for me, he expanded the possibility of language and of thought. So enormously grateful to him and to everyone else for the room as well. Thank you.